Did you hear about the new store opened up in New York?
The what?
The new store that opened up in New York.
Oh, yes. Where did I find it?
It's called the Husband Store.
Oh, tell us about it.
Okay, I will. It's a place where women can go to choose a husband. The instructions are on the entrance, and they describe how the store operates. It says, you may visit the store only once. There are 6 floors, and the attributes of the men increase as the shopper ascends the flights. There is, however, a catch. You may choose any man from a particular floor, or you may choose to go up a floor. But you cannot go back down except to exit the building. Excited, a woman, and sort of enticed, this woman goes to the husband's store to find herself a husband. On each floor, there's a sign on the door. Floor 1 says, these men have jobs. She thinks, well, not bad. But I think I could do better. She decides to go up. She reaches floor 2 and reads, floor 2, these men have jobs and love kids. Wow, this is incredible. I want kids. But decides, there has to be more. So she goes up again, reaching floor number 3. She reads, these men have jobs, love kids, and are extremely good looking. Wow, she thinks. But again, she feels compelled to keep going. She goes to the 4th floor, and the sign reads, these men have jobs, love kids, are drop-dead good-looking, and help with the housework. Woo! Oh, mercy me, she yells out. I can't hardly stand it. Still again, she decides to go up to the 5th floor. When she arrives, there reads a sign that says, these men have jobs, love kids, are drop-dead gorgeous, help with the housework, and have a strong romantic streak. She's tempted to stay, but they have been improving each time, so she once again jumps to the 6th floor, and she reads the sign. You're a visitor 3,261,496,012 to this floor. There are no men on this floor. This floor exists solely as proof that women are impossible to please. Thank you for shopping the husband store. All the men are clapping, we're going, oh my. Yeah, I know. I guess you got that. That was good. And next week, no. Well, this is a women's story. The wife's not, I'm kidding,
next week we'll have a new pastor.
let me ask you a question. Have you ever met anyone that planned to be overweight? I mean, their New Year's resolution was, I want to gain 50 pounds. Yeah, I've never read them either. I never have. How about this? I don't know anybody that has a 5-year goal to be bankrupt. It's like, that's just 5 years I want to be lost. No money. I don't know anybody that wants to wreck their marriage or wakes up and starts the day with a plan to do something stupid, something sinful, and then try to hide it. Lie about it and lose the trust in the people that they love the most. I don't know anybody that plans to wreck their life. And chances are really good when it comes to you, you're not planning on making stupid decisions either. Yet here's the thing. Most people don't plan on not making stupid things either. Doing stupid things either. They don't plan on not making the bad decisions. They don't plan on doing those things. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. And I believe it has potential to really impact your life, in a very powerful way. I really do. Let me start with a review of what we covered last week. We talked about the power of our decisions because for the most part, we need to understand that the quality of your decisions determines the quality of your life. Make good decisions, you have a better, little better life. You make bad decisions, you end up in places you want to be. Amen? The problem is, however, that although we have good intentions, many of us are just simply not very good decision makers. And if you were with us last week, we shared how it's important to draw a line in the sand before you even reach the sand. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
and decide today what you will do tomorrow. Decide now what you'll do for later. That was the idea. The idea is determine now what you will do. So when the situation happens, when the situation occurs, arises, that you are not deciding based on your emotions in the moment, but rather on what God has put in your heart. That's the whole idea. Instead of waiting until the moment to give in to some temptation or let our emotion take us to a place that we really don't want to go, we're deciding in advance what we're going to do with, when the situation arises. I mentioned that when we know who we are, we know what to do. And I also mentioned that we are making resolutions about ourselves. And this week, here's what we're going to do. Here's the resolution. We're looking at being ready. I am ready. Sit it with me.
I am ready.
Awesome. That's what we're talking about today. I'm ready. When we determine ahead of time what we will do, our decisions won't be based on what feels good in the moment, what feels good at that very instant, but on who we want to be for the rest of our life. And they're based on values, because when our values are clear, our decisions are a lot easier. I didn't say easy, they're easier. So let me ask you another question. How many of you have ever given in temptation and you regret it afterward? Don't raise your hand. I'm not asking now. Let me just clarify first. I'm not asking if you're living in regret. Remember, I told you last week not to camp there. Okay? My question was, have you ever given in to temptation and you regret it afterwards?
Yes.
And I think we're honest. We all can say we've done that. Okay, you raise your hand now. That's fine.
I'm not going to do that. He calls you a
heathen. Yeah. But why did we get into that temptation? Why did we actually get there in the first place? Chances are in most of those cases, you gave into that temptation because you weren't ready. You weren't prepared. In fact, scripture says over and over again, telling us we need to be prepared because our enemy is roaring around like a roaring lion, seeking who may devour. He's after us. He's looking for someone to devour. He is going to attack. He's going to do it. And the truth is, the enemy, he knows when to attack. He waits until that most precious moment when you're a little discouraged. You're a little angry, you're frustrated, you're let down, you're hurt, you're offended or bitter. He, in other words, he waits until you are the most vulnerable.
Yes, he does.
The Apostle Paul used it, he said like this in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, he says this. Remember to stay alert and hold firmly to all that you believe. Be mighty and full of courage. See, he does not come to us when we feel confident, we're prayed up, we've fasted for a week, and, you know, we're looking around every corner watching for him and, you know, making sure that he's not there. I mean, that's not when the enemy attacks. He attacks when we're the most vulnerable in life. That's just what he does. And so Paul in the scripture, he's saying to us, don't let your guard down. You know, be ready. Put on the full armor of God, because the enemy is coming to try and trip you up. Paul said that. Jesus said this in Matthew's gospel. Look what he says. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is. Watch and pray. Why? So you're ready. Watch and pray. Watch. So you're prepared. So you don't fall into that temptation, because your spirit wants to do the right thing, but your flesh, well, just, it's too weak. It doesn't know how to fight off that temptation forever. That's why you need to decide now to watch and pray so that you're ready. You don't wait till the moment and say, oh, I wish I would have. You do it now. You watch and pray that you're ready so that you're not caught off guard. That's why you need to just dress every day in the armor of God. When you wake up in the morning, you put on that armor. Once again, Paul said, right in the church Ephesus, he writes this about that armor. He says this: put on the truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on the belt of truth. Put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. Holiness will protect your heart. Stand on your feet, alert. Then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance, like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. Woo! And take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessings of God upon all his believers. That's the armor of faith. That's what wake up in the morning. Put that on. Why? So that we're ready. So I want to share with you two reasons why you need to be watching and praying. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Pun intended. Number one, we have a spiritual enemy who is on a mission to steal, kill, and destroy. Anything and everything that is precious to the heart of God. And in case you didn't know it, you are precious to the heart of God. So his mission in life, his mission in his destiny is already planned out way ahead. But his mission is to make sure he steals, kills, and destroys everything that is has anything to do with God and God Almighty. And you have something to do with God. That's why Jesus died. The Apostle Paul again tells us why we need to be on guard. He says this in 2 Corinthians 2:11, so that we would not be exploited by the adversary, Satan, for we know his clever schemes. We understand him. We know that he's coming after us when we're most vulnerable. We know that he's going to come after us, not when we're strong and courageous, but when we're weak and vulnerable. That's when he attacks. Paul actually went a step further in this passage, read up like a few verses before that, and said you need to forgive. They had some things going on in the church, and people were putting judgment on the person, and Paul said, listen, you got enough judgment already. They need your forgiveness. And so he went on to talk about forgiveness. And listen, church, you need to understand that if you walk in unforgiveness, you open the door for the enemy to attack. And since you know his clever schemes, forgive. Forgive. You also need to understand the enemy is real. It's not some, made up guy that you dress up in a red pajamas with horns and a pitchfork and really gig you. That's not, but we have a real enemy. We have a real enemy. That's why I need to watch and prepare, be ready. And he is, as this enemy, he is studying you. He is trying to figure out where you're at. He's trying to figure out, what you're doing. He's trying to look at the situation and figure out, what kind of person you really are in life. He's studying. He knows everything about, he knows a lot about you. He can, when you're vulnerable, come and attack and do that. He's studying you. He knows where you're weak. He knows when you're vulnerable. He knows how to attack you, to take you out of God's will, and the best time to do that, to trip you up and to hurt you and the people around you. He knows when to do that, and he watches that. So we're going to be ready. Look at your neighbor and tell him, be ready. Reason number two. We need to watch and pray because we tend to think that we are a little more stronger than we actually really are. We tend to think we're a little stronger than we actually are. We think we can do it. Listen to Paul's warning. 1 Corinthians 10:12. So be aware if you think it could never happen to you, lest your pride becomes your downfall. See, we tend to think that we can handle it. We just tend to think that, you know, we're big enough. And so, you know, Paul always tells us, the moment you think that, you know, this isn't a big deal, the moment you think that I got this, the moment you think that it never happened to me, the moment you think that it's nothing, when you think you're standing firm, be careful. Because that is when most people tend to fall. That's when most people tend to fall, when they understand that they think that, oh, I've got it all together. My act's in order. My path is straight. I'm doing everything. That's when we tend to think that we've got it all together. But trust me, Paul warned us, don't think you have it all together. Don't think that everything's all neatly made. There's going to be a point in time the enemy will attack you and you'll think, oh, I've got this. And you won't quite have it. Why? Because you just weren't quite ready. You weren't quite prepared to do all that God had called you to do. And that's why we often end up in a place that we don't want to be. Because we made decisions that didn't honor God. Why do we tend to overestimate our ability to fight off the wrong things? I think one of the reasons is because we have no idea how much energy it actually takes to fight off temptation. We just don't think we have the energy. We don't understand the energy. But fighting off temptation it drains us spiritually, emotionally, it mentally. It brings fatigue. It's difficult. The part of our brain that controls willpower wears out. It becomes so much easier just to give in. Maybe you heard this thing called peer pressure. Mm-hmm. It's like our willpower just diminishes a little bit. Does anybody work or know of any, let me try to word this nicely, crazy people?
Yeah. Oh, I know tons.
They're the kinds that just drive you crazy. Yeah, you got it. And so all day long you work with these crazy people. You're doing your best. You're trying to be nice and they're just driving you crazy. You're trying to live that holy life God called you to. You're trying to be the salt and the light of the earth. And so all day long you're just trying around those crazy people and they're driving you so much crazy. And you want to say something, but you just, you fight it because you know it's not the right thing to do, and good for you. You do that. But then you get home and you yell at your spouse. You fight off all day long. You want to say something, but you don't say something. And then you yell at your spouse. You take your frustration on the very people you love the most. You made the right decisions all day long. You come home and your willpower starts to wane. It diminished. Why? Because you've been fighting that thing all day long. Truth is, our self-confidence, our self-control, our willpower, it's a really limited resource. It needs to be replenished from time to time. It can't just keep going forever and ever and ever, and so we got to understand that. You understand that the devil doesn't want you to live out your destiny. So he's watching, waiting for the opportune time. And you may not believe God's word. You may not think God's word is true, but the devil does. He knows it's true. The devil knows that it's there. He knows you are more than conquerors. He knows you're supposed to walk in victory, that you can't walk in victory. He knows that. But if he convinces you otherwise, so what we need to do is decide in advance to be ready. And I want to share with you three keys. I shared the 2 points there. I'm going to share three keys now to fighting temptation. And we're going to determine three things today that will prepare us for tomorrow. What do we decide today? What are we going to decide? I'll tell you. Number one, we're going to decide today to move away from the line. Move away from the line. Number two, we're going to magnify the cost. And third, we're going to determine in advance a plan of escape. Move away from the line, magnify the cost, figure out a plan of escape. Those are the three things we're going to look at today. We're going to move away from the line, magnify the cost, and plan the escape. We're going to be ready. Because our spiritual enemy is wanting to steal your identity, kill your destiny, and destroy your potential. The first thing I want to talk about is how we need to determine ahead of time to move away from the line. Oops. All right, making a line. This side of the line is sin. Not good. Not a good place to be. This side of the line is righteousness. This side that's truth. This side that's this is God honoring. This side of the line, they're all moving over this. So this side of the line is where you want to be. All right.
I took a shower this morning, I promise.
So we want to make sure we're on the good side, not the bad side. We want to make sure we're on the good side of the line. Got it? Good? Not good. Understand? That's the line. So we got to make that line. We got to do that. I'm going to, and as I put down the line, and remember, that side of the line, this side, what side's bad?
The right
side. That side, this side?
Left side.
Okay, my left is bad. Okay. My right is good. That's wrong and dangerous. I'm left side. The other side, the right side. That's the good, God-honoring side. This side of sin, this side is right. Okay? Got it now? I'll figure out. That's okay. Didn't divide the group. Didn't want to divide the group. That's not what my plan was. Now, what do you typically do? What do we typically do when there's a line? What do we most tend to do?
Struggle.
Maybe even like to do. We try to get right up to the line. We try to get right to the edge of the cliff. That's just what we tend to do. We want to get as close to the line as possible without getting on the other side. And so we want to do that. So we just try to do it. We want to go, do that. We like to walk the edge. Let me explain to you this way. Before I became a follower of Jesus, I didn't really set any boundaries. Ever. For anything. Like, nothing. I didn't have boundaries when it came to dating, partying, drinking, hanging out with the room, whatever it was. I just was like Nike. I just did it. That's what it was. And then I started my journey on with the Lord as a believer. I knew I was supposed to honor God with everything I did. I knew that. And I wanted to do that. I knew that was my call. I knew I was supposed to honor God for everything I did, but I just didn't know how to do that. Remember, I had not had any boundaries. So I found myself next to the line wondering, well, boy, can I still kiss the girl? Can I still rub her back? Can I still, go do this and do that? I mean, I want to just run as close to the line because I had no boundaries and didn't know what boundaries actually were. I want to get as close to that line and still be good with God and everybody else. Then I didn't want to, step over the wrong side of the line, but I wanted to make sure. So I started asking the questions. Is it okay? How much can I do without crossing the line. What I wanted to do is just get right to the line. Go as far as I possibly could without crossing over to the dark side. And in honoring God. Because I truly did. I truly do to this day. I still want to please Papa.
Amen.
Can you guys relate to this? Can you relate to this so far? What's funny is, you know, we may do that with some things, but when it comes to really dangerous things, we just wouldn't do that. You have a storm. You go outside. A power line's down on the road. None of us have ever, nor would we ever, walk up to the power line thinking, oh, I wonder how close I can get that not being zapped. You just don't do that. Why? It's dangerous. You can die. So you just like, you stay as far away from that line as you possibly could. Why? Because you want to make sure that you don't get too close to it to get in trouble. And so we'll do this with some things. We'll just wonder, okay, how close can I get? How close am I without, you know, stepping over? I don't want to step on the dark side. I want to make sure I'm good. And so we just get as close to the line as possible so that we're still pleasing Papa, we think, and we just go on through life. But those really important things, those things that the power line being down, we would never even think about getting that close. We stay as far away from that line as possible. So here's the thing, church. We understand the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. You do know that, right? You do understand that. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. So what we need to do is when we know there's a line, that if we cross over with these to a place of sin, of compromise, we need to move away from the line. Not even get that close to the line. So we don't fall into the wrong area of life. So we just need to move away from the line. Steve Farrar once said, sin takes you further than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and costs you more than you want to pay. You scroll Facebook and Instagram. Now, I'm not saying those things are bad by themselves. I'm not saying they're sin. Don't get me wrong. But after 4 hours of watching interesting friends, you realize they're not quite as interesting as you thought they were. You move away from the line and say, you know what? I could have done so much more with that. I'm going to limit my time to 30 minutes instead of 4 hours. I'm moving away from the line. It's not that they're bad, but when they take away from other things that could be there in life, when take for your prayer life, your reading Bible life, your reading a book life, just relaxing life, whatever it might be, it becomes a close to the line. You had an addiction. I don't care what it was, gambling, drinking, pornography, whatever it was. You move away from the line. You don't keep running to the casino, going to the club, or clicking on that site. You move away from the line. You may even have to get an accountability partner to help you stay away from the line. You do what you have to do, so you move away from the line. You're not walking right on that edge wondering, I'm so close. Maybe you're thinking, great, Pastor, you're telling me I can no longer have any fun as a believer. You know, that you're taking all my fun away. You're doing everything, and you're so restrictive. I'm not. Listen. Hear this. I will never ask you to give up anything you don't want to give up. I'll never ask you to stop smoking, or stop drinking, stop partying, just to come to church. I'll never do that. Now, there's some limitations. I'm not saying don't live right. God wants to live right. I'm not saying that. I think that that's part of what we need to do as believers, is live right and do right. But I'll never ask you to do those things just because it's God honoring. No, that's not what God desires. What happens is this. As you follow Jesus, The Holy Spirit begins to show you things. The Holy Spirit begins to show you things that keep you and gives you the idea of how to live life abundantly. And so the things that you thought were really important, the things that you thought were just really important and fun and enjoyable, they don't become so fun and enjoyable any longer. Because the Holy Spirit gives you some ideas that helps you to receive the abundant life that He has for you. Look at Psalm 16, 6 through 11. It says this. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because You will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will You let me, Your faithful one, see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in Your presence, with eternal pleasures at Your right hand. The boundary lines for me personally, they've fallen on pleasant places. Surely, 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 I have a delightful inheritance. So I don't need to worry about the line. That, by the way, is not limiting, church. That is freeing. And so the things that I once did, I no longer do. The way I used to talk, I no longer talk. The way I used to walk, I walk differently. Why? Because I am a new creation. I'm a new creation. So you move back from the line a step or two. You just do that. It just makes sense to do that. You just take a step back from the line. Because trust me, if you tend to walk the fence, eventually you're going to fall one way or the other. And you might end up on the side you really don't want to be on. Because you walk too close to the line. The second thing we need to do is magnify the cost. We move the line, or move ourselves away from the line, we magnify the cost. Truth is, church, anytime you're tempted to give in to temptation, there's always a risk. There's always a cost. Always. When you're tempted, and you will be tempted, even Jesus was. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 4. He understands humanity, for as a man, our magnificent King Priest was tempted. How? In every way, just as we are, and conquered sin. So now we come freely and boldly to where love is enthroned, to receive mercy's kiss and discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. Jesus was tempted in every way just as we were. So what we need to do is decide in advance to stop. Ask yourself, what could possibly go wrong? Because something can always go wrong. It just can. So when you get close, we're right here thinking, should I or shouldn't I? In case you're wondering, you shouldn't! Okay, but we get that, and we're just wondering, should I or shouldn't I? We get that close. Should I step over? The answer is no. You ask yourself, while you're there, what could possibly go wrong? If I make the decision, the choice I want to make right now, because my emotions got in the way of my logic, what could possibly go wrong if I just step over the line. And you already know the answer to that. You may already know. You could lose your reputation, you could lose your ministry, you could lose your integrity, you could lose your job, you could lose your loved one, you could financially find yourself in a wreck, you could compromise our relationship with our kids and with our God. You could. So understand, church, scripture tells us that you will be sinning against the Lord and that your sin will find you out. It's going to come to light sooner or later. It's going to come to light. It always does. So magnify the cost. Determine now what not to do so you won't hurt someone that you love and maybe hurt yourself as well later. Magnify the cost. For me, I don't want to lose the trust of the people that God has entrusted me to and allowed me to speak into their lives. I don't want to lose you. I don't want my kids to lose respect for me. I don't want my name to be posted in the news for the wrong reasons. I don't want my character as a man of God to be shredded because I decided 5 minutes on this side of the line was fun. I need to count the cost. It's good. Church, recognize the enemy is trying to trip you up. So be ready. Be watching. Be on your guard. So when he does attack, you move away from the line. You're not going to be stupid and be right here next to the line. Waiting. Saying to yourself, I don't get in trouble. We're going to move away from the line. We're going to magnify the cost. And the last thing we're going to do is we're going to plan our escape. We're going to determine ahead of time to stop before we get in that position in the first place. And I know if you're thinking, Pat, your pastor, that's easier said than done. And you might be right, but this is also right. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 10:13. We all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. But God will be faithful to you. He will screen and filter the severity, nature, and timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. And each test is an opportunity to trust him more. For along with every trial, God has provided you a way of escape that will bring you out victoriously. You remember that scene in The Lion King? Simba is being chased after by the hyenas. And they run through all the trails and stuff, and then they finally get, he's in the midst of all these hyenas, they're attacking us, and, they just like, oh, the son of a king, we got him, we got him. And he goes, meow. And they start laughing, come on, Simba, do some more, and meow. And it's like, oh, look at that, oh, he's the king of the jungle, and they're making fun of Simba. But then they say, do it one more time, roar! Because Papa, Mufasa, is behind Simba, the child. And listen, I don't care what temptation you go through. I don't care where you might be. Every time you go, you've got Big Papa behind you. He's there with you. He's fighting for you. He's fighting with you. When the enemy attacks, he's right there by your side. He'll give you a way of escape. Always.
Thank you, Jesus.
He always does. He is faithful. So we need to determine ahead of time how we're going to get out of any temptation. But the enemy that the end brings us, we're going to be and need a plan of escape. But just realize, Pop is right there fighting for you. He is the mighty Lion of Judah in the battle with you. Joseph, I think, is a good example of this idea of planning the escape. Look at what scripture tells us. Genesis 39 says this. The Lord was with Joseph, so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and to all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. Joseph was well built and handsome. Sounds like your pastor, don't it?
Absolutely.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, Potiphar's wife took notice of him as well. Look what it said. Verse 7. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." Now that's pretty straightforward, don't you think? By the way, she wasn't saying, "Oh, come take a nap." I mean, that's pretty straightforward of her. That's pretty flirty. That's pretty honest. I mean, she's like, "Come, Joseph, you're good looking." I mean, that's pretty direct, don't you think? And imagine just how easy it was for Joseph to give in. I mean, think about it. He's in a foreign land. He's not his homeland. His brothers have no clue where he's at. His dad thinks he's dead. They're all alone. Surely nobody would tell. She's still not going to tell. And he might be thinking, you know, I'm young and single and ready to mingle. I don't know. Besides, she made the move. She's the one flirting with me. It's got to be okay, right? I'm gonna get next to the line. She's the one bringing on the advances. It's got to be okay. Or maybe Joseph is maybe like some of us. He could have given in to that temptation because he just wasn't happy with God. I mean, think about it. He wasn't doing anything wrong when his brothers beat him up in the pit. He did nothing wrong when they sold him to be a slave. He wasn't doing anything wrong. So maybe he's angry with God. Maybe he's mad and bitter at God because of everything going on. And so something that's how we feel like. Well, you know, since God didn't do what I want him to do and what I expect him to do, I'm just not going to do what he wants me to do either.
Right.
Church, hear this. This is utmost importance. Never use your disappointments to justify your disobedience. Whew! Now that's good preaching. Let me say it one more time. Never use your disappointments to justify your disobedience.
That's good.
Joseph had determined in advance that what he was going to do is honor God always. She came unto him and he faithfully resisted. He looked at her and said, "No deal." Maybe he's thinking, "Your husband trusts me. Look what he's entrusted me with. How could I let him down? How could I let God down?" And so he resisted. What happened? He resisted. The Bible says he stopped and never tempted him again. Nope, that's not all true. Do you know what happened? She kept pursuing him day after day after day. "Looking good, Joe. Looking good. Feeling frisky today? Feeling lonely? Joe, I like the outfit, Joe." Woo! Day after day after day, she considered going after him and pursuing him, watching everything. She made her moves on him every single day. In church, in much the same way, day after day, the enemy, the devil's pursuing you, trying to trip you up. And so we need to determine now our plan of escape so that we're not stuck wondering, should I or shouldn't I? Well, no. Maybe you hear the story and you think, "Joseph, that brother, man, he was strong." No, I don't think he's any stronger than you and I. I don't think it was. He was just prepared. He was just ready. He had a plan of action in place. And look what scripture says. Genesis 39:11-12. One day he went to the house to attend to his duties. And none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out the house. He left his coat in her hand and ran out of the house because he knew that his name, a good name, was better than a good coat. Oh, church, listen, hear this. Some of you need to let go of the things that are holding you back and holding you down, because some things have the potential to get you into trouble. Yet instead of running out the door, we wonder, how can I get back what I just left? How can I get back what I want that feeling again. I want that idea again. I want that. Listen, God always makes a way of escape.
He does. Jesus.
I've decided, me personally, I've decided that my name, my integrity, my character is more valuable than any possession that I can obtain. Joseph determined in advance, if she grabs me, I'm running. Because I'm not strong enough in myself to resist her flirting forever. So I will run as far away as I can. That's my way of escape. As I read this just a few minutes ago, when you're tempted and you will be tempted. But God is faithful. He will always give you an escape every time. My job before I got married was, my car broke down. Went to work. Got to work. My boss offered to take me home. And I had talked to her. I mean, she knew I was a believer. She knew I was a believer. But she said, "I need to stop at my house first." So I got a little close to line that time. I stepped into her house. And then she decided to hit on me. And it was not too long, and I'd been too close to the line. I didn't move back from the line far enough, quick enough. And nothing serious happened, by the way, just so you know. But I finally said, "Just take me home. I'm not into this." "Well, I give you my car, you can drop it off tomorrow." I'm like, no, you don't understand. "Just take me home. Take me back to my parents' house. I'm good. I don't want to have any part of this." And so listen, I've been there. There's times I just got, when I was still a really young believer, too close to the line, wondering, how close can I get without falling onto the dark side? And so I have to learn, still learning, sometimes to move a little further from the line. Move a little, step back, because you just never know, so you gotta step back, and so you've gotta understand, God is always, my way of escape was take me home, not let me have your car and I'll bring it back tomorrow.
Right.
Get back to that same situation all over again. Mm-hmm. Not happening. I had made the good decision. Mm-hmm. So, decide now ahead of time. Move away from the line. Magnify the cost and plan the escape. Let me try to bring this to a close. Troy, come. Bear with me just a few more minutes, will you? A few more minutes?
Absolutely.
How does the enemy attack you? Is it your pride? Maybe you justify sin because you're mad at God. Well, if God hadn't done that, then I wouldn't be doing this. There's people that have done that, by the way. May not be you, but there's one that have. Do you find yourself compromising financially because you put your security, trust, and possessions over the one that says he'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory? Do you lie sometimes to make yourself look good? Do you gossip to make somebody else look bad? You judge others way too quick. Are you carrying unforgiveness or bitterness around with you in your heart? Do you find yourself getting into lustful temptations over and over again, looking at things or acting in a way that you know are dishonoring to God? Do you find yourself taking God for granted? You used to be passionate for the things of God, but then something happened, you're just not quite as passionate anymore as you used to be. This year can be different. This year needs to be different. Do you find yourself compromising around your friends? You're one person at church and you're somebody else at around some other people so you can feel like you fit in a little bit better. I have determined, before I'm tempted, I'm going to magnify the cost, determine what's the worst that could happen, and then ask myself, why would I even think about going there? And then ahead of time, plan my escape. Because as I mentioned last week, when our values are clear, our decisions are easier. And so in the moment when we need Him the most, when we're tired, when we're hungry, when we're angry, overwhelmed, too emotional, depressed, and you're more vulnerable, your decision when you're tempted won't be based on your emotion in the moment, but on values God places in your heart. If you and I will commit all our ways to God, our relationships, our friendships, our finances, our witness, our words, our thoughts, if we will commit it all, not just the parts that we want to give Him, but all, He will establish our paths. And since we know His word is true, we determine now, ahead of time, when I'm faced with whatever it is, I've already determined to choose to honor God. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name. Oh. Help us by your Holy Spirit to be ready. To be on guard. Watching and praying and clothe ourselves every day with the full armor of God. Help us honor you in all we do and all we say. In word and in deed, we give you all glory, all honor, all praise. Help us, Father. Give us the strength to move the line, to count the cost, the wisdom to plan a way of escape, so that we're ready. We're ready. Faithful. God, you said you give us a way of escape, so Lord, we ask God that as we find ourselves, we don't think we know the answer, we don't think we understand, we don't have no clue how to get out of it, God. We may have moved our line back a little bit. We may have even thought we just God, give us the wisdom to hear, the revelation to hear, the obedience to recognize the way out, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God, you came to give us life in abundance. Papa, help us walk out our calling with integrity, with honesty, with character. Help us, God, in everything we do to honor you. In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory of your transformational power in our lives. to do what's right, to honor you in everything we do. Never get so close we wonder, should I or shouldn't I? Father, help us to walk in the victory you've planned for us. For we know we're more than conquerors. We ask all of this in Jesus' name, and the church said. Join us next week as we look at walking in consistency. Close that, turn that off. I'll get this a second. Excuse me, honey.
Never Christian.
I loved it. So the three that I got, the Christian, once I get back to work, I can go out. Yeah. That's what I have heard, that you can get a lot of free books on for Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
You can just download the Kindle app.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's free.
Yeah. Like, I have the Kindle app on my phone.
Right.
But, we also have the Fighters, but...
Right. Why is it under those?
Because
I'll download it.
I'm a Prime member, so I get a discount. During Prime,
right?
You know, the 2-day Prime sale,
right?
And that's how we got our discount on our Prime and our Fires, so they can come here back.
Oh, okay.
But they're both like Nicholas has died, and the one that I had originally bought for her, that battery like can't stay charged for crap, and then mine. Can't hold a charge. I have to like sit and it has to be plugged in, sit and use it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just read off my phone. I get it pretty good, you know. But now I'm into audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can do like, I can sketch and do other stuff.
Uh-huh.
And crochet while I'm
doing it.
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm just asking.
Well, there's certain things I can't do while I'm listening, like dishes and house cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm thinking, like, my brain's working at like doing a different task.
Mm-hmm.
But like I can sketch and crochet and still pay attention to Dr. George, and the message still says the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with audiobook and television. Like, there's certain things I can do in multitask,